paid by the hour.
Hey, Jill, what do you think about those folks who are ready to buy or sell a home right now while it's still cold out?
It could be the best decision they make all year. Hi, this is Jill and Colton Bates with the Bates Team at Best. Many people are looking for the perfect time to buy or sell, but your future home or buyer may be out there right now.
It makes sense for buyers to get ahead of the common spring push when there's more competition, but what about sellers?
Those looking right now are likely serious buyers, and starting now can move the seller's timing up in a big way. They could have a stress-free summer full of fun.
For a huge summer payoff, give us a call today at 675-BEST and visit bestwi.net.
A lot of things in Wyoming depend on the weather. Your financial future shouldn't. This is Frank Boley with Legacy Ridge Private Wealth in Sheridan. Our team provides disciplined financial guidance to help individuals, families, and businesses create a plan built for the long run. Don't leave your future to chance. Visit us at 45 North Main next to Frackleton's. Legacy Ridge Private Wealth. Grounded in values, built for generations. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC.
Izzy,
Alexa,
Sunshine,
Dorothy,
good girl MAGA,
B2, come on everybody, let's herd up.
Okay ladies, there's a lot of people counting on you, so let's get out there and have some calves.
We're back with round two of Shorty's Countdown to Calving. There are 9 chances for you to pick the date you think each cow will have her calf. If you pick the right date, you could win a $50 prize. Play round two of Shorty's Countdown to Calving on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, March 19th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan County Commissioners Nick Siddle and Holly Jennings, as well as County Treasurer Katie Aris. Good morning, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Now, how are things down at the county, Nick?
Oh, wonderful, Floyd.
That's always
we've got
good,
we've got beautiful weather. We haven't spent a lot of money plowing snow this winter.
You saved a buck or two.
You
on
know,
that.
You might as well look at it on the positive side, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
There are some things I'm going to ask you about. So, folks, pay attention and stick with us till about the end of the show, because there are some concerns that I know have been on your mind a
sure.
lot, and probably your mind as well, as we're going into this next season. But first, I'm going to switch it over here to Mrs. Aris. Welcome back. You and I were talking. You were here about a year ago.
Correct.
Covering about the same thing that we're going to talk about now.
Yes, correct.
But for those who don't know, where are you from originally?
Born and raised in Wyoming. I came to Sheridan County in third grade, so I've been here a few years.
Where in Wyoming were you born?
I was born in Laramie.
Laramie.
Oh, yes.
Man, I lived there for about seven and a half years. My daughter still kind of sees that as the OG home. You know, it's a great town.
It is.
I enjoyed my time down there. I still got a lot of military brothers, so family living sure. down there now. We visit as often as we can. It's kind of transformed over the last couple years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has.
Got a big facelift.
Yes.
But it looks pretty.
Yeah, it is. Very nice.
Now, what originally got you into accounting? I mean, I'm not a numbers guy.
Sure.
I'm a words guy. Generally, your profession, my profession, two opposite ends of the spectrum, but same sides at the same coin.
Right.
What took you there?
College classes and professors that I enjoyed. So when I enrolled in college, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, but I was geared towards some sort of business. And when I started off, you know, in the general classes, I just were geared more towards finance and accounting. It made sense to me. And I am not the creative brain. I don't have that side where I enjoy it, but I like numbers. They, you know, you can always find the answer. They match up. It makes sense. But
now, was it strictly like financial numbers that you really enjoyed? Or do you enjoy like the deeper math, the letter math, as everyone likes to call it?
I mean, truthfully, both. Yeah, I guess I don't necessarily say this one or that one. I enjoy both.
Do you look at it as a puzzle? A lot of math people I've spoken with said they're just a puzzle.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, then it's nice because you know there is an answer, whether you get there the same way as somebody else, but eventually you get there, and that's what's great about it. Whereas, I don't know, I think words or the creative or arts, there's no definitive answer. And I don't love that. My brain doesn't love that.
Multiple futures.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, my father was one of those individuals who never understood why we had to show our work in school. Mm-hmm. He said, if you can't do it in your head, why are you doing it? And he always kind of fascinated me with that. But whenever he was building something and he had to do some math, he had a little stump right outside of his shop. And he'd go sit on that stump and just stare off into the distance. And then he'd jump up real quick, back into the shop he'd go, and he'd build that. It was actually pretty incredible.
Cool.
Now, when it came to running for treasurer, big responsibility.
Yes.
What inspired you to do that?
I had previously worked at the county, actually in the county clerk's office and under the commission, through the clerk under the commission, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed helping people. I was familiar and had good relationships with people at the county. And I think, I've said this before and I'll say it again, I just think it's neat how government's set up with, for sure, like on the bottom floor, it's easy for me to explain. There's the checks and balance, like Ida's office transfers the title of a vehicle, but the treasurer's office collects sales tax on it. And same with the assessor's office under Coco. She assesses a property, but we collect. So there's that built-in checks and balance. And I just think that's neat how that's set up like that. And also helping people. In my role, I don't get to have the face-to-face every day with folks, but I enjoy that part of it. Specifically when it comes to like the property tax relief, I do step up to the front and help individuals with that. And I enjoy it. We kind of take for granted that we do the same things every day, day after day, but individuals coming into our office don't do it every day. You don't register your vehicle. You don't pay sales tax every day. So we really try to just streamline that for them and be as helpful as possible and really try to understand that they don't know the process every day.
Mm-hmm.
And each individual that comes in wants something probably different from the interaction. Sometimes people are out running errands and they want to visit a little bit. And then sometimes people come in and they're not happy about paying taxes and they just want to get it done.
Yeah.
So you try to read that and try to best help them get what they need to get done and get out of the courthouse.
You know what? It kind of fascinates me. When you think about various careers, especially in branches of government, you don't think that customer service is going to be as vital as it truly is.
Yes. Oh, it is.
But it is, isn't it? I mean, the taxpayer, the individual out there, is your customer.
Yes.
And I'll admit there are some offices in government buildings, not around here, but in government buildings in the past, I'm not going back into. I'm going to avoid it as much as I possibly can because certain individuals within those offices were just somewhat unpleasant to deal with.
Yes.
And I would just rather not. So it's great to be able to walk in. Maybe I am in a bad mood. You know, I got to pay these taxes. I don't want to do that. Everything increased this year. And I'm greeted with a smile and good service. Well, now my day's improved.
Exactly.
And I might not want to do it, but I'm more likely to go in there and know I'm going to be taken care of.
Right.
Now, let's go ahead and dive into the reason you wanted to be on the show today. We've talked about this at length, but we do want to hit it again, and we're going to hit it maybe even one more time. Let's talk about that. Can you explain the statewide homeowner property tax exemption and who qualifies for it?
Sure. So that is the 25% off for residential homeowners who have resided in that property for at least 8 months of the year, and there is a cap. This one was blanket applied for 2025 tax year, but for the 2026 tax year, you actually had to apply, and the application deadline was March 1st. And that will go into next year as well, pending legislation or any other changes.
Now, that deadline was extended previously, wasn't it? Was this the one that was extended from a previous deadline that was set, I think, in February?
Yes, you're correct. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did we see an increase? Did you see some folks kind of come in last minute, apply for that? I'm really hoping that we did.
Sure. So that is actually taken care of through the assessor's office. But I know Coco and Paul previously reported numbers. And I know for a while there weren't as many folks that they thought were going to apply for it. But then there was a jump. I know there was a little more information getting out. And then I think they did see closer to the numbers that they had anticipated.
Now, do you happen to know why this change between last year and this year, where it was automatic before, but now I got to go down there and actually apply for it?
I guess I don't know exactly where, but my understanding is legislation just wanted then people to apply for it instead of blanketing, because then when they blanketed it, it would have gone for, like, if I had a rental and a residential property, so I would have gotten it for both of them. But now going forward, they're just applying it to your actual resident where residence where you reside.
Okay. Now, 25% reduction, fair market value. What does that mean in practical terms for taxpayers?
Oh, obviously, it's not like a straight 25% cut, but it is a reduction in your annual property taxes.
The significance of the $1 million cap.
I guess I don't know for sure why they did that. I don't know if Holly or Nick, but my assumption is probably to capture the individuals who really needed some relief. Not saying that it isn't for everyone, but I think perhaps that was their intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you look across the whole state, I mean, we have some higher property values in Sheridan County, obviously, but for example, in Teton County, I don't think there's a property there that's under $1 million.
Not anymore.
And
Nick.
So, I mean, most of, if you look at it, a lot of people, if you own property that's worth over $1 million, probably the part above the $1 million you can afford to pay for.
Yeah.
And I think it was just put on there, like Katie said, the people who really need the tax break are the ones who probably are retirees or disabled or whatever, and really have trouble scraping together the money to pay their taxes. And so I think that's why they wanted to make it mainly pleasant for those people who owned a little bit smaller property value properties.
Yeah, Katie, with legislation this year, was there anything that you were really paying attention to, watching for regarding taxes, property taxes, or anything else?
Sure, yes. I guess the property tax relief program, so that is in statute. However, if it doesn't get funded in the budget process at legislation, then it doesn't necessarily go into effect. So this year it did get funded. They appropriated $12 million this upcoming biennium, and then there was some, my understanding is there's some leftover from the previous biennium.
So you, and there's no guarantee on anything ever. That's one thing that I've learned. But you can kind of foresee that this will continue?
For 2025. The property tax refund program is the go for 2025 property taxes.
Okay. But not a go for 2026 as of yet?
Correct, to my knowledge.
Okay. So we might not see this again.
It's possible. Yes.
All right. Now, as you can see here, I wrote down the original February deadline. But what's going to happen to those folks who are just now realizing, oh my goodness, I didn't jump on this train?
Yes. Unfortunately, my understanding is in talking to the assessor's office and Department of Revenue, there's no leeway in it. There was the hard stop at the March 1st deadline for the 25% off for 2026. Now at this juncture, my understanding is that it would still be in effect for 27. So then perhaps, you know, when folks come in and we're talking to them with our office, the treasurer's office and the assessor, we would let them know, you know, hey, make sure you take advantage of it next year
if it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, yeah. Talk about walking around with your fingers crossed, huh?
Yeah.
Now, what other tax relief programs are still open? Are any open?
Yes. So there's the 50% off for the long-term homeowners.
Okay. Yep, go ahead.
Yep, that Explain deadline, that they say it's the fourth Monday in May, but that always ends up being Memorial Day, so then it's Tuesday.
Okay.
So what is that, May 26th, without looking at a calendar? Yeah, May 26th.
And who's eligible for that?
Any residential property owner over the age of 65 that has paid property taxes in the state of Wyoming, anywhere in the state, not just your county, for 25 years.
And it doesn't have to be 25 years in a row.
Yep.
Excuse me. Now, the veterans is also still, is that still
correct.
Open or is that closed?
Yes. Nope. It's same. It has the deadline March 26th as well.
Okay.
Excuse me, March. May 26th.
May 26th, yes. On that deadline, folks, get down there. people can come in if they've got questions.
Correct. Yes, please.
If they just, you know, they're looking at these numbers, they're not numbers people like me. They're, because I'll tell you, when it comes to taxes, you might as well write it in Latin. I don't know. So when I'm walking in there with all these questions, you guys have got people ready to answer these for me.
Correct. Yes. In the treasurer and assessor's office.
Okay. So if one's full, I can say, you know what, I'm going to sneak over to this other one here.
Yes. So technically the assessor does the 25% and the 50% off exemptions, and we work on the property tax relief, but we know enough to be able to help you. And there's information on the website, the assessor's website. There'll be more on mine as the time comes for the property tax relief, and then the state's website. So even if we can't right off the cuff answer, we're able to look or pop next door to the assessor and be like, hey, you know, what about this? So we can relay it to the customer.
Okay. Now, as the treasurer, we're coming up on budget season. Yes. I'm sure you've already started.
Yes.
What have you gotten done so far? What have you and your office had to accomplish?
So really, I just look back at last year and kind of, you know, we each take care of our own individual budgets. So mine is a smaller portion, obviously, than the county as a whole. But I've, you know, reached out to vendors and asked them if there are any pricing changes that will they foresee in the next fiscal year, just so they can make sure that, you know, our line items are correct for what we anticipate. And then just paying close attention to legislation and how that budget works and any relief programs or exemptions and how that all play into it.
Katie, we're seeing costs skyrocket across the board. We have for a while now, but boy, howdy, this year seems like it's going to be kind of tough. You've talked to some of these vendors. Are they increasing prices across their boards as well?
I haven't noticed, honestly, the ones that I've touched base with, any significant increases.
Locally. That is great to hear.
It is.
That
yes.
is fantastic to hear. Now, I think the last question I've got for you, and I'll get the Coles out of here, is with these property tax exemptions, we want people to apply for these, but that's money that comes back to the county. Sitting in that office, looking at the taxes that are coming in, are you starting to see these tax programs kind of dip into funds?
Sure. I think overall, yes. But I don't know. I guess really what we try to do our best is we watch what legislation does. And then we, you know, based on that, we just do what we can with the information and funds that we have. So obviously, if they're decreasing, then we look at our overall budget and say, hey, then we need to decrease here.
I like the way you work. You don't sit around lamenting what coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? Yeah. You're like, this is what we got. Let's make it work.
Exactly.
That's a fantastic way to get things done. Is there anything about tax exemption programs, the upcoming budget, or finances in general that you would like people to know before I take a break?
Yes. So again, just to reiterate, the veterans and the long-term homeowners, which is the 65 and older, is the May 26th deadline. Now, unfortunately, the 25% deadline is passed. So if you miss that, you'll have to look at it next year. But the other thing coming up is the property tax relief program. So then it's expected to open April 1st and run through June 1st, consistent with prior years. Applicants generally need to provide the following documentation when applying, which would be your tax receipts and your tax statements, which we have that in our office. But proof of income is a big one when you come in. So that, and then so your 1040 income tax return or Social Security statement or any veteran statement that you would have. Oftentimes people haven't done their taxes, you know, by April 1st. So you definitely need to wait for that. That'd be in your best interest. And then same with if your property tax, your second half is paid within your mortgage, your escrow account, you would want to wait till after May 10th. Because if you don't have that receipt, then, I mean, we can always submit it, but it's best to wait until you have all that documentation and submit it at once.
Okay. And people can put all of this in a file.
Yes.
I know it's been a while since some of us have probably seen a manila file, but we can take that into yes. you and say, look, I've got what you needed, and you can help me out with that kind of stuff,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. You and the assessor's office.
Nope. So for the property tax relief, it's surely going to be through the treasurer's office. We don't do appointments or anything, but just come in with your documentation. We have folks available, myself included, to just help you go through all the information and kind of gear you towards where you need to be.
On average, how long do you think this is going to take me? How long of a time period should I kind of block off?
Oh, truthfully, since we've been doing this program, it's pretty quick. I would say less than 15 minutes if you have all the documentation and we're able to, you know, knock out your application.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, this one's more like a rebate, right?
Correct. Yes, you would receive a check. You pay your property taxes for 25 and then you receive a refund check directly from the state.
Okay. Now, if I've applied, let's say I'm on the ball. I've applied for everything that I was eligible for. Can I still get this?
Correct. Yes.
You can.
Yes.
That's fantastic to hear. All right. Anything else that you would like people to know?
That should do it, I think.
All right. One more time on those dates when I need to have that done.
For the 50% off, which is 65 and older, it is May 26th. Same with veterans. It's May 26th. 25% off. You've missed it for this year, but look at it for next year, March 1st deadline. And then property tax refund is going to open April 1st and then by June 1st, because that's the first Monday in June, is the deadline, drop dead deadline.
Okay, Katie, your patience with me is exemplary, my friend. On that, we're going to have more with our Sheridan County Commission and our treasurer right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Right now, qualified homebuyers may receive a mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Yes, through the Mortgage Rate Relief Program.
It's designed to make buying your primary residence easier and more affordable.
We'll personally help you check eligibility and guide you through the process.
Call First Federal Bank and Trust for all the details or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, because your home should be within reach. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best. Getting that real estate sign in your yard is a very exciting first step in the new direction you're moving. For some, that can represent a job well done. For us at Best, our sign represents a commitment to put our best foot forward. We offer a full price analysis, staging, and prep work plan before your home hits the market so that you can feel proud of the company you choose. Let our team work hard for you and make selling your home the best decision. Give us a call, 675-BEST, or visit bestwy.net.
Doug, is it possible to make my 5-year-old truck feel new again?
Absolutely, Bob. Send it to the detail shop at Waring Chevrolet.
Well, what are you going to do?
Deep interior cleaning, exterior polish, and that showroom shine.
Even my dog hair situation?
Especially your dog hair situation.
My truck might have looked better than when I bought it new.
Happens all the time.
That's detailing the Waring way.
The kind that keeps people coming back.
Schedule your detail today. Call the Waring Detail Shop, 673-6794. Stop by 409 Broadway.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-HOME. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan County Commissioners Nick Siddle and Holly Jennings, as well as County Treasurer Katie Aris. A lot going on in the world right now, Commissioner Siddle.
Yes, sir. There sure is.
Yeah. How are our TSA folks doing?
Well, you know, our airport is gifted. We have people that are very, very good at serving their jobs, and they're doing a great job, and our airport is running on time as opposed to, I see many of them around the country, but you know, our local TSA officers right now are up there working at the airport, and they do a fantastic job, and they're not being paid due to the federal government funding lapse. And so Our airport would really like to do something for them to try and help them a little bit. We want to keep our skies safe. We want to keep those people working. And I think, you know, they make a fairly decent wage when they're paid, but they're not being paid right now.
Yeah.
So our airport manager yesterday came and talked to me, and they're working on a program now, starting actually yesterday until the funding is restored. They would like to collect some things for the TSA agents. You cannot give them cash. You can't give them a Visa card because that can be used as cash. But they're collecting at the airport terminal right now non-perishable food items like peanut butter, canned goods, rice, pasta, cereal, those kind of things. Toiletries like toothpaste, deodorant, toilet paper, whatever. And you can do gift cards in $10 or $20 for grocery stores or gas. They can't exceed $20. I'm not sure there's a limit on how many $20 ones you can give them. I'm not sure about that. But $10 or $20 gift cards. And please drop those things off at the terminal at the airport if you'd like to help those TSA people. And we certainly want to keep our skies safe, and we want to keep our planes running out of here on time.
So they're not getting paid, and yet they're reporting for duty.
Correct.
Admirable.
And I see that that's not happening at a lot of places around the country from what I see on the morning news. Some airports have big delays, Denver being one of them. But the thing for us is when you fly out of here, when you get to Denver, you're through security, so you don't have to worry about it. It's the getting through security at Denver that's the big issue. Here, you go through security, and you get to Denver, and you're good.
That in itself is almost a sales pitch.
Absolutely.
Anyone who's Absolutely. Gone through DIA security, that's a sales pitch.
Yeah, you there you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't drive to Denver. Fly out
that's
of
right.
Sheridan.
Yes. I've had some pretty long waits down there. Down at the DIA. Although, you know, hey, the place is great to walk around and kind of check out some of those murals, right?
Oh, yeah. There's some excellent art. There's even some pretty good food and everything else there in DIA. Once you're on the walking through DIA, it's fine. Like you say, it's going through security. I came through a year ago. I went out of country, and I came and had to go through customs and security.
Oh, my goodness.
Not fun. Not fun at all when you get there. But anyway, and realize those people are just doing their jobs too.
Yeah.
And But it's a little bigger process at a little bigger airport. But once again, we just want to help out these people. If you can, drop something off up there right at the airport terminal, and we will get it taken care of and make sure it gets to the right people. And I just guess I'd just really like to express appreciation to those people for continuing to work. When, you know, I hope that they'll get paid what they're worth in the end, but the government sometimes drags its feet for
a while.
Yeah,
it does. And I really hope they get that back pay.
Yes.
So hopefully they're looking at a big fat check coming down that pike at some point. And the Sheridan County Airport has actually seen a record year this year, right?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Over 60,000 passengers this year?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And, you know, initially when I became a county commissioner a little over 7 years ago, we were just hoping to somehow get to 20,000 passengers to try and meet what we really needed to get by. And now we're at 60,000. So, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yep.
Now, what does that tell you? As county commissioners, what does that say when you see your airport receiving record passengers in a year?
You want to take that or you want me to take
that? You know, I think it tells you that Sheridan, as we all know, is a place everyone wants to come to. It's just so unique and special here. Obviously you have people that are traveling for business, in and out. But I think so many people come here, they want to visit the mountain. They want to go downtown. They want to just be in this area. We really are that emerald. And I think it shows.
Yeah.
Well, I think it shows that we have a cast group that's just worked really hard to try and promote and improve. And now that we are obviously affiliated with United through SkyWest. We're affiliated and it works out very well. And we're now getting, we're originally we used to have 20 passenger jets or prop planes. Now we have 50 passenger jets, and now we're up to three. Right now we're at three flights a day, which certainly helps, and hopefully we continue that, and hopefully in the future we get some even bigger planes. But you know, Floyd, it's just so convenient to fly out of Sheridan as opposed to driving to Billings or driving to Casper or driving to Denver. It's so convenient. The one thing I really love about it is when you get home, you're home.
Yeah.
You know? It's, yep. And it's not like, oh, I'm going to go scrape my car off and drive in a blizzard home for 2.5 hours.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That, you might still have to do that, but it's only like 10, 15 minutes.
You might have to sweep it off and scrape it off, but it's okay. You can let it run and go back in the terminal for a few minutes.
Now, we've got flights that go where?
All the flights out of Sheridan go to Denver. That's the only connecting point we have. SkyWest is headquartered in Denver, and all the flights out of here go to Denver. I mean, it's possible in the future we may get a flight that would go to Salt Lake or some other airport, but right now you have to connect in Denver if you fly out of Sheridan.
So that connection is absolutely vital.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We don't have anything going over to Casper. We don't have anything heading up to Billings. We come right into Denver, and from there we grab that other flight.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, what changes to the flight schedule have had the biggest local impact for travelers, do you think? Because there was a schedule change.
Yeah.
What was it, last? Almost a year ago now, right?
Right. And the we did have a flight that came in from Denver about, it was between 9 and 10 in the morning. And the issue, and then connected here, and then you could fly out of here. The issue was there wasn't very many people in Denver wanting to fly to Sheridan at 9 or 10 in the morning because your flight wouldn't connect and make it into Denver by that time. So that flight moved to be an early afternoon flight, and we're seeing a lot more people flying into Denver, into Sheridan on that flight now. It flies into Sheridan about 1:30 and then flies back out to Denver, I think, at 2:20. And so that flight has been really good, really helpful, because you get to Denver at 2:20, especially if you're going west, but even if you're going anywhere, you can still connect and go anywhere. The other flight, I mean, you've got to be a morning person. It flies out of here at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
You've got to be willing to get up and get going in the morning, but you can make connections. But, you know, that I'm flying out of here next week on the 2:20 flight, and I'm pretty happy about that as opposed to the 5 in the morning flight. But
And you're a hunter.
I mean, it doesn't kill me. I can dang sure do it. But and then now we have one more flight that's coming in and out that's a little later in the afternoon yet. I think it gets into Denver out of here about 5 o'clock at night. But it's a nice – we basically got the addition of this flight because Gillette is redoing their runway, and they only have one runway, so their airport is basically just shut down. So we got another flight to take up the slack from Gillette. What we're certainly hoping, people, is that we fill those flights and we keep that flight.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be nice?
We don't want to let Gillette take one back from us. You know, well, we don't care how many flights Gillette has as long as we have our three.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's an important thing for us if we can keep filling all those flights. And, you know, the other thing that's, truthfully, there's a lot to do in Denver. It's not bad to just, I don't love that drive to Denver. Fly to Denver, spend the night, do your stuff, come back the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a cool thing to do.
I've had a lot of really good times in that city. I will have to admit that. To see hockey game during a break, which was absolutely amazing. To this day, she won't tell me how much she spent on those tickets, but we were down there just about two up from the ice, and it was incredible. Folks, it's a great place to head down there. It's a great way to get there, and it's easy. It's convenient. Let's talk about parking. That's the one thing that I have seen folks make comments on in some of the stories. And that's, if I remember correctly, the long-term parking is going to get a bit of an improvement, isn't it?
Yep.
Let's talk about that. What's happening?
We actually just opened bids this week on expanding the long-term parking area. You think about long-term parking at many airports, meaning that you've got to ride a shuttle bus or you've got to, you've got to walk another 200 yards. It's not too big of a deal from the long-term parking into the airport. And the other thing that everybody, you need to realize is that's another big thing when you get home. You don't have to pay to get out of the parking lot. Our parking is all free right now at the airport. It's all free. So we've been seeing that our parking lots are very full with the expanded use. And so we are going to add, I believe it's just a little over 100 parking spots.
I think it was it 120?
120 parking spots to the long-term parking. It's going to be expanded. It's going to be stretched out and made a lot more convenient.
That's fantastic to hear. I know that, because like I said, that is the one issue I've seen people really comment on is long-term parking out there. But there's been a vast amount of improvements to the Sheridan Airport over the past 3 or 4 years, hasn't
it? Oh, absolutely. We have a very nice waiting room area now that we never used to have after you check in through TSA. You know, there's a lot more seating. There's restrooms that we never used to have at the airport. And the check-in process flows better. And we put in a nice baggage handling thing. We actually have a carousel for your bags now instead of just sliding them down to a clunk on the little ramp.
What's that saying? Cosmopolitan.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, our airport, and we've got to give kudos to our staff at the airport. They just do a great job up there.
Robert Gill.
And Robert Gill, our airport manager, is just on top of things and can always tell you what's going on and know what's going on. And by the way, we'll get in a little plug here. If you are looking for a great job, we have a couple openings at the airport right now for people who are service oriented. Our people up there are very multifaceted, but they do snowplow work, they do airport maintenance work, they are all certified in CPR, they're all certified in firefighting, and it's a great job. And we do have a couple openings up there right now. If you're interested, check out the website.
The airport website or the county website?
Sheridan County website.
Sheridan County website. All right, folks, you may have a path to a new career there. And that would be kind of fun, I think. It sounds kind of diverse up there.
Oh, it's very diverse. They learn a lot and do a lot. And it's a nice working atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it. You got TSA agents who are going to work without getting paid. Yeah. that's dedication, right, Floyd. I was on a different level.
Yeah.
So, folks, head up there. Support those folks who have that dedication because that is admirable. They're just trying to keep us safe as we do our day-to-day travels. See what you can do to help them out. They are your neighbors. All right, one more thing before I go to another break, and that is there was a project going on out there having to do with a runway. Was it an extension, a widening? What was happening out there?
We're widening and straightening what's called Taxiway Alpha, which is where almost all the planes that come in then come in and disperse to whether they're going to a hangar, going to the terminal, so we're straightening and widening that. And then we're also putting in a much larger, as you know, especially in the summer with polo and with all the recreation that goes on in our town, we have a lot of people flying here on private planes. And so we're expanding the parking area for the planes. So the taxiway is going to be wider, and then we're going to also have a larger apron where those private planes that come in can park while they're here in Sheridan.
Interesting.
Yeah. You think you have a problem in the parking lot, but you also need to be able to park the planes.
Where can I put this jet?
Yeah.
Now, you said years ago you were looking at 20,000 being kind of a pie in the sky number.
Right.
As you guys sit up there and you see these numbers, these people coming in, the fantastic improvements going on out there, the dedication of the employees that you have, is it unrealistic to think within 10 years we get bigger jets?
I think that's part of the reason we're expanding the GA apron is for the look forward of what's coming in.
Yeah.
It's obvious when you listen to a lot of the talk that there is a big move to go to larger
Planes?
Yes, planes. Thank you. If that's going to happen, I think eventually it'll happen here in Sheridan County as well. So starting to look forward to say, how do we accommodate those?
You know, when you think about it, it doesn't require a whole lot more staff to fly in a bigger plane. You still have one, a pilot and a co-pilot. You still have, And so if you go from a 50-passenger plane to a 75-passenger plane, I don't think it costs that much more to fly them, that much more for the crew, and it just makes revenue sense. But that those decisions obviously are made by the airlines mm-hmm. as to what they have available and what they can fly in. But, yes, I certainly think – I don't think we're 10 years away. I think we're just 2 or 3 years away from going from 50-passenger planes to 75 or 80-passenger planes coming in.
And I have to tell you, my first plane ride was on the one of those little tiny, tiny ones. And I'd never been on a plane ride, and that was pretty bumpy. And
those are interesting to fly.
I'll never forget that, yeah.
We used to call those the flying culverts.
Yeah. the pond hoppers, right? Yeah,
or the vomit.
Puddle jumper is what I always would call them.
There you go. Yeah. And then you get one engine that's going a little bit faster than the other. You start wondering, are we going sideways? I can't figure it out. All right, on that, I do have to take another quick commercial break. More with the Sheridan County Commission and Treasurer in just a few moments. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
Talking with Bill from Tales of the City, one of the big reasons to choose Tales of the City is food for your pets.
Nature's Logic, Victor, they're both gluten-free. Victor does use ancient grains, and the new one, Next Level. It is a performance food. You'll see stock dogs using it, cattle dogs, working dogs, sled dogs, active dogs in the backyard chasing the squirrels. This food is a fantastic food. You got to come in and see it.
Get the best for your pet at Tales of the City, 218 West Burkett.
Branded with quality, Shipton's Big R.
At Shipton's Big R, it's time for our annual Chick Days event. Baby chicks are at our store. This Friday, come to our Sheridan store starting at 4 in the afternoon and meet the chick expert from Neutrina. Courtesy of Hemtana, enjoy a free hot dog and soft drink and get some chicken chat. Learn the basics or learn what you don't know. Chicken tips for kids and a lot of answers to your questions. There are fun crafts for the kids and chicken tattoos while they last. Register to win some free chicks. Shipton's Big R is your complete poultry headquarters. Chick starter, cracked corn, bedding, feeders, scratch grains, egg cartons, and everything else you need. Our Chick Days event with the Neutrina Chick Expert is this Friday starting at 4 in the afternoon at Shipton's Big R on Sugarland Drive in Sheridan.
Shipton's Big R!
At Carroll's Furniture, we say long live the lazy. Why? Because Lazy Boy recliners were made for maximum comfort and chilling like a pro. Kick back in classic Lazy Boy style, whether it's movie night, nap time, or just because you've earned it. From sectionals to iconic recliners, Lazy Boy at Carroll's Furniture brings home comfort in all the right ways. Go ahead, embrace your inner lazy at Carroll's Furniture, 340 North Main in downtown Sheridan, where comfort lives. Visit us at carrollsfurniture.com and find us on Facebook and Instagram. Long live the lazy.
Hi. This is Kayla Carr with Sheridan Honda. Got weekend plans but still need to get your vehicle serviced? Great news. Our service department has extended our Saturday hours until 5 p.m. to make it easier than ever to keep your ride running its best. We also service power sports on Saturdays. From side-by-sides to dirt bikes, our expert technicians are ready to help keep your adventure going. From your daily driver to your weekend toy, we've got you covered. Stop by Saturday or schedule online. Sheridan Honda. Our service works around your schedule.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're sitting with Sheridan County Commissioners Nick Siddle and Holly Jennings, as well as our county treasurer, Katie Aris. Now, Sheridan County has experienced its warmest winter on record and already seen some early vegetation fires.
Now, I'm going to come over here to you, Commissioner Siddle. You're pretty good about keeping up with this stuff. How concerned are you?
Well, you know, Floyd, I'm somewhat concerned, but we've had enough moisture right now that our fire warden doesn't feel like we really have to put on a fire ban yet. Thankfully, we got some pretty good moisture last week.
Yeah, that was great.
But now with it being in the 70s and the wind blowing, we don't know how long that's going to last. But we're certainly, I mean, you hope against hope. We're hoping for a nice wet spring and getting a little more snow on the mountain. But certainly if you're not concerned, your head's in the sand, mm-hmm. you know, because if you look around, there's basically no snow anywhere in the lower foothills. You better be paying attention because it is certainly a scary possibility.
7 o'clock last night, me and the wife had both doors open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was just too dang hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this morning I went out and did chores in my shirt sleeves.
That's incredible.
This time of year, that's a little bit incredible, you know?
You know, so fires, we had the Elk Fire 2 years ago. If you were to sit back and say, we learned these lessons, what would that be?
Well, I think that the one lesson is, and our Forest Service has been very good for us to work with during and after the Elk Fire. They're doing a lot more stuff on that mountain right now to try and make the area more fireproof by doing some thinning, doing some logging.
They're up there
doing
working.
Some things up there. Yeah, doing a lot of thinning, doing a lot, and especially widening the perimeters along roadways so the fires can't jump the roadways and trying to take care of the... We've got to try and reduce the risk.
Yeah.
That's basically what it boils down to.
On that, Red Grade is getting widened this year, correct?
Yes.
I think they start this year, yeah.
It will start this year, uh-huh. And up the face, it'll be up the face of the mountain. To Poverty Flats is the first section mm-hmm. of the road that'll be done.
Okay.
Yes.
Have they told you if they plan on that being completed this year?
It won't be completed
it's
this
2 years.
Year.
Okay, no, that's going to be a two-year project. All
it's
right.
a two-year project, yeah.
Now, I was looking up some things, more than 750,000 acres. Commissioner Siddle, you and I were touching on this morning. Poor Nebraska, dealing with those wildfires. Does something like that happening in such a neighbor state affect how you're viewing this year as we go into it?
Well, I mean, I certainly think you have to think about it. How often have you ever heard, especially in this part of the United States, of something like this happening in March?
Incredible.
You know, it's just, it's unprecedented, certainly, And I was just looking this morning, they're going to set a record high temperature for the whole United States today in Arizona. It's going to be 109 degrees somewhere today. It's going to be in the mid to high 70s here. So, yeah, I mean, it certainly is scary in that. And these, when have you seen a year when we had wind like we've had this year?
Yeah,
that is another great point.
That,
yeah.
That concerns me more than anything. If you get a fire started, and that's what they've had in Nebraska, and then they have these high winds. You can't get out in front of a fire and stop it when the wind's blowing 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Plus it creates its own vortex. And I mean, it really goes. And it's definitely scary that I was looking at the map this morning that I don't know names of counties in Nebraska, but one county, over half of the county has burned.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
And that's so incredible because as I've filled this role, and learned so much from department heads, it's not just the fire. It's the absolute terrible fallout from that. It's the invasive weeds, the cost of all of this coming down on especially smaller counties who may not have big influx of tax revenues coming in. It's so tough on these communities. And you know, when you look at 750,000 acres, it's absolutely incredible. And from what I read earlier, not a lot of respite coming their way. They're looking at a lot more before this is done.
Oh, most likely. And I mean, it's burned a lot of that cropland and so on. And then you wonder, irrigation-wise, how are you going to do when you've got no ground cover, or whatever when you're trying to do irrigation. I mean, it compounds. I mean, a lot of that is some of the most fertile farmland in America that's burned up.
Well, I'll tell you this, folks. I would just ask everybody to please be mindful because it is going to get warm. We all want to go outside. We all want to have a good time. Remember, your mufflers on all those ATVs could spark fires. Get those chains up off the ground when you throw that trailer on. Do what you can to help keep our area the way that it is. We don't need another elk fire. That was an absolute travesty. Last question I will ask is, has Mr. Ludekaus sat down with you as of yet and gone over anything? I got about a minute left, Nick.
You know, I think that between our fire warden and our emergency management coordinator, these guys prepare for the worst every day. And so, you know, they go to workshops, they go to seminars, they keep in touch with all the other people around. We're always in touch with the weather service to try and figure out where we're going to be. And it's just, you can prepare for the as well as you can. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a wonderful saying, hope for the best, but plan for the worst.
That's right.
Absolutely. And I've spoken with both of them in the past, two extremely serious, competent individuals.
Oh, absolutely.
Who know their jobs. And so.
And all of our firefighters in Sheridan County, I mean, they just do an outstanding job.
Yeah, they do.
Reacting, getting there, doing everything they can do. We have great rural fire departments. We have a really super city fire department. I mean, once again, we talk about service people. You sure can't live without those great firefighters.
Yeah. And after the last couple of years, we can call them hardcore veterans.
Absolutely.
All right. On that, I want to thank you all so much for coming in and speaking with me this morning. It's always a pleasure having you guys in here. Thank you.
Thanks, Floyd.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. And 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Sheridan, I'm Nicole Pierce.
And I'm Maren Borsheim with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Dreaming about owning your first home?
The Mortgage Rate Relief Program could lower your interest rate by 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
That means real monthly savings.
It's available to qualifying homebuyers purchasing a primary residence.
Let's see if you qualify.
Funds are limited, so stop in, call us, or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Homeownership just got more affordable. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're chatting with Shan Foster with All Around Canine Training and Country Pet Inn about the complex world of protection dogs.
Protection in the dog training world is a little different than what most people think of. There's different levels of protection.
Every dog is unique. Every person's unique. The needs are all over the place. So one of the things you work on is matching that up.
Correct, yes. If it's a family protection dog versus a single person protection dog, very, very, very important to match the right kind of dog in the right environment as well as with the right type of personality.
One of the great things about working with you would be you know that it's going to be the appropriate level and it's going to be the appropriate price.
You see a lot of organizations where the prices are insane. I like to keep prices that they seem, it makes sense to you. Right. It kind of a thing.
So anytime you see a blanket price that seems too high,
I would be alerted to that. That would be a red flag to me.
Make sure you're getting the right level of protection for the right price. Find out more at allaroundcanine.com.
The time has come. The Spring Online Marketplace closes tonight at 8 o'clock at SheridanMedia.com. Bids start at 50% of retail value. We've still got great restaurants, entertainment, health, beauty, pet care, lodging, cleaning services, hobbies, and a lot more. Place your bids now through 8 p.m. tonight. Browse the Spring.